everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. In this episode, we have a group, you guys, of impressive and amazing women here, all in one room. We are in this very sexy, fancy recording studio. We are not in Katie's Crib. We're in a recording studio because I wanted to get this particular group of women together. They are all entrepreneurs who started their businesses when they were new moms. And we're going to talk about what their journeys have been like and how, if at all, being a mom has made an impact on them as business owners. We've got a lot to cover. This is a huge topic that I literally have goosebumps talking about this. I'm like, entrepreneur moms. It just sounds so fucking awesome. Okay, let me introduce today's guest. Guests, plural. That's why we're in the recording studio. We have Sarah Gibson Tuttle, who is the founder and CEO of Olive & June. We have Katarina Schneider, the founder and CEO of Ritual. And we have Angela Sutherland, the co-founder and CEO of Yumi Service. And we are going to put links all on the Cribs notes to all of these amazing businesses so you can really do a deep dive on these awesome ladies. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hey.
It's so great to have you here. Thank you guys for being here. Let's get into this. Let's talk briefly. Let's all go around and talk briefly about everyone's lives before kids. Like, were you already pursuing careers on your own? What areas were you working in? What were your daily schedules like?
Okay, I'll start.
Yes.
So this is Angela from Yumi. Hi. So I was a traditional geek. I actually went to school with Kat here.
Yeah. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Brown.
Nerds.
Nerd alert. I was a math major. She was applied math, so super nerd alert.
Get. I don't think I've ever met math majors in my life, which goes to show you how small and wow. Okay, I'm just
how
an
small
actor.
We are. It's more like, can you find us? Yeah. So I've known her a long time ish, but like. But anyway, so I was like sort of traditional nerd path. So I went to, you know, like school, was a math major, went into investment banking, and then went to like a management program and then into like private equity. So I've actually always done finance or operations. And so that's like pretty much my background pre-launching a company. And so why I launched this company really had to do with more like what the situation was. Like I wouldn't have ever thought I would go into baby food.
Or yeah, like, tell us, like, let's go around. We'll all talk about pre-baby and then just go into your business and how you started it and
sure,
what that
yeah.
hard sort
I'm
of
I'm sort of like grouping them together.
Yeah,
like,
I would have
made the jump if it wasn't something so obvious to me that needed to happen. Like, so in my life, like, so I had a baby, I got pregnant, and I started realizing that there's this period of life called 1,000 days that was so important for childhood nutrition. Like, basically nothing you do for the rest of your life matters when it comes to nutrition except this period. And this period was like, you know, basically, you know, conception to age 2, and that what you give your kid during that period changes their life.
Like, and where, like, did you, like, was that in a book that you read and you all of a sudden just like got obsessed with it and you were like, this has nothing to do with math and I'm so into it?
Yeah, I'm like a nerd. And so I researched a lot. And so there's a publication called The Lancet, which is like the NIH of the UK, so the National Institute of Health for the UK. And they published it, and it's about, you know, 800 epidemiologists that came together and said, okay, this period is really important. You know, all these like vitamins, minerals, things that happen are super important. So you have genetics that like form you, but you have this period that are epigenetic, things that actually change the way that you live the rest of your life based on what you're doing. And so because of that, it really just opened my eyes to how little I knew and like how much I wanted to know. And so like, I'm, you know, we're like starving for information. You want to like do the right things for your kids, but you don't know what information you're supposed to get. And this was real and concrete and saying like, you know, like, get enough of this and this will happen. And you're like, wow, that's something I can do. I can have real ownership over. And so, you know, similarly, I think into your life of like choosing things that you can do that you have real ownership over in our generation is like a gift, because you're like, wow, I feel so confused by all the information online.
Sure,
like,
sure, sure.
What can I do or not do? And so this was something for me. I was like, I can really do something. And then I started trying to do it, and I was like, wait, what? Like, you want me to cook every single meal and
how old was your kid when you started this?
She was 7 months.
So at 7 months, you just started the idea of giving her solid foods, and you were like, went into this deep dive with the how the UK system works and all the research, and you were like, I'm going to start a business.
Yeah, I started the research
with
before.
A small baby.
Yeah, I started research before. I was a prenatal, and I was like thinking I was going to cook it. So then I was like, so this is great. I have all this research. I'm ready to go. And then I was like, I'm going to make all this stuff. And then I started to do that. And I was like, oh my Lord,
this is terrible.
This is terrible.
Yeah, terrible. Like, nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that. Because you think you do.
I don't know. I never thought I did.
And then, same. You never thought I did?
Thanks.
So I think you think you do. And then you're like, no, I really don't. Like, to know everything they're supposed to be getting, to be like, are you getting enough vitamin A? Like, are you getting, it's like, you're never going to know. And then you make a ton of it and you freeze it. And all of a sudden your freezer is full of these little, like, frozen dots. And you're like, I don't know what I did. And, like, I blacked out and made a lot of food. And, like, but then that's just not a way to live, because I wanted to work too, and I wanted to, like, be productive, and I also wanted to, like, be present for my children and, like have time for, like, what am I supposed to be doing, like, with them playing? And all of these things, like, I was like, how does this not exist?
Did you feel so driven to start your own company, be your own boss, to make your own hours, to be spend more time with your kids? Or was it just so you were so passionate about the idea?
Yeah, so I almost wish that were the case, because then I probably wouldn't have done it. Because you don't realize that what you give up when you start a company. Like, it's like, it's not your own hours. It's actually, like, eight times the amount of hours. You know, so it's like, you think that you're, oh, I'm just going to be flexible and I'm going to see my baby. It's like, flexible that I'll FaceTime my baby when I want to. Like, it's like, you're giving up so much
to
start a business, you know, and so much of yourself. And it's like, you're basically having another baby. And so I say that because, not to, like, deter anyone from doing it, but just to know, like, you do it because you love it, right? You just, like, it's something else you love. And so you're deciding to put all your energy into this other thing.
I like that idea. You said you had two babies.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yeah, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
I also think you do it because you want to touch other people's lives. Like, when Angela launched Yumi, which wasn't named Yumi then, there was a beta. This is Sarah. There was a beta
This testing. Is Sarah of Olive and June.
Yes, it is. And they did a beta testing, and they sent me the product. And, like, that changed my life, because I was able to work and feed my child this amazing food. And so I think Angela did it because she loved it, and she cares so much deeply about the subject and the topic. But you also do it because you want to, like, change people's lives. And, like, I wouldn't have been able to work at the pace I was working without Yumi.
Same for me. I was going to say that Yumi really contributes to female empowerment in such a big way. I had my first kid without Yumi, and then I had my second kid with Yumi, and it just provided so much flexibility. And I think that the impact that companies like that are having in the world is, like,
and just so you guys
huge.
Know, Yumi is a food, it's an amazing food delivery service for baby food and things like that, that they're getting all of the health and nutrients, which I felt was probably a huge weight off your shoulders if you couldn't be home actually cooking the food yourself, knowing that what was left in the fridge for whoever to give to them while you were running your new businesses was providing nourishment and were like good choices.
Because we're type A people. So
yeah, this is one hell of a type A room. Not gonna lie.
You didn't have to worry. You could come home and literally, like, feed your child, and it was immediate, and you never had to worry about it.
Oh.
People thought I was getting paid. It was, like, I think before sponsored ads were a thing, and I was clearly not getting paid. And they were like, I don't understand why you're posting so much about this company. And I was like, she's literally changing my life. Like, this is amazing.
That's wonderful to hear. Can you tell me, Sarah, about Olive and June and when you started it and why, what your life looked like? What did you work before? Did you work through your pregnancy? Tell me about that.
It's a little hard to go after Angela after that intro, but I'm happy to talk about nails.
Nails are also very empowering and creative and artistic. I mean, at this point, like, nails are like...
I know, they're everything.
The first time I left my baby, and I'm probably going to bet that a lot of moms I know, the first time I left my baby with someone was to just, like, get my nails trimmed. And yeah, because I was like, that's an hour, and I feel like I need to treat myself, but I also don't know who I am anymore. And I don't want to, you know, cut my baby's face open with, like, bad nails, and I'm, you know, you're like a mess, and it's just someone can take care of you. You feel complete. Yes. Yeah. So tell us about all
the gym. We get that a lot. People are like, I have 1 hour and I just want to get a mani-pedi. Yeah. So I started Olive in June. My background is somewhat similar to Angela, although a little less smart. I went to Colgate and I was a philosophy major. I thought for a hot second I wanted to be a lawyer, but I started working on a trading desk at JP Morgan. And so I kind of worked at the other side of the business, much more the social client service, like, have fun, go out really late type of business.
Great.
And I did that for 10 years. And I, like, learned client service so intensely. So, and something that I love doing. And at some point I was like, I do not want to do this anymore. I don't want to live in New York anymore. I want to live in LA. I like the sunshine. I'm such a type A person that I feel like it's a really good balance for me to live here.
I agree. We feel very similar on that. Because I'm from New York, born and raised, and I came here and I was like, oh, right. I can't do that because of traffic. Wow. Like, it's I have like to just chill out. Whoa.
It's like CBD. But
yes, agreed. 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 Yes. Perfect. End quote.
Yeah, exactly. And so I started researching where I would work, and actually that's how I met my now husband. I did a bunch of informational interviews and entertainment. And actually, my husband works with Angela's brother-in-law, so this is a really small group.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Like,
wow.
We go way back also.
You women are just, like, all friends, and you're like, yeah, I can fucking start my own business. Like, she did it. Like, yeah. If I was around you guys, I feel like I could maybe do that.
Yeah.
You're making me feel very – this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if – yeah, exactly. And so basically what I fell in love with Dry Bar. I, like – and now it's crazy that Allie's one of my closest friends because I feel like I was such a fangirl for such a long time. And I just fell in love with the model. I loved what they were offering. I loved that it was affordable price point. And I love nails. So I had this moment where I said to my now husband, like, I'm going to do the Dry Bar for nails. Like, this just makes so much sense. And there's no national nail chain. And I feel so good about this. And it was super inspired. And we can get into later, like, what that looks like today because it's a little bit different. We're shifting into products. But that was my initial idea. And I opened the salon before I was actually, I think I was engaged. So before I was married and had a kid. But then I had Noah about 3 months before I opened the second location.
How was that?
It was insane.
Oof.
We had to, like, move the opening to after I had her because I just literally physically couldn't do it. But it was really, really hard. But I was so, like, I'm so passionate about making people's lives better and, like, what that looks like. And for me, always having my nails done makes you feel like you can fill in the blank of what that word is. But for me, it just feels like you feel complete. You feel like ready to take on the world. I'm a very, like, I'm currently in a sweatshirt and jeans. Like, that's my, like, vibe. And so having my nails done feels so good. Yes. I'm taking a break this week and I hate it. I hate every minute of it. I'm like, get polish on my nails.
Do you normally have all, like, the creative stuff, like
sometimes
the rhinestones and stuff?
Well, we have nail art stickers, which I think are like the cuter
it's
version.
The new, yeah. Mm-hmm. My daughter uses them.
Yeah, it's yeah. The new. So does mine. Yeah.
I love them. And so if I'm doing designs, I'm doing either hand painted by the manicurist or I'm doing those stickers. Oh. But I always, like, my nails are always done. And so transitioning with a child, like, honestly, companies like Angela's, like, that made my life easier were, like, mind-blowing. Like, there was nothing better than being able to come home and actually engage with your child and not feel like, oh, I have to go make this meal or I have to go do certain things. And so I'm very grateful for that because to Angela's point, you don't take any time off. I didn't take one day of maternity leave. Like, I constantly
oh
worked.
My
we closed our
God.
First round of funding when I was in the hospital.
Same.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like, sent a term sheet, like, going over while I was in labor.
Yeah.
Oh, like, my.
Just doesn't stop.
Wow. Yeah.
And they don't care. Like,
did you have any, like, were you also, I don't know why I keep coming back to this, but were you like, I'm going to be my own boss and I'm going to be able to see my kid? Is that something that you faked yourself into or you knew that that was going
to be the case? I thought that was going to be the case. I mean, I do think the one thing is, like, working in finance, like, working where I worked, it was like a 7 a.m. to, you know, you go out almost every night. So that was a long day and you can't leave because you're tied to the desk because the markets are going. It's not like it's project-based or meeting-based. So I absolutely see my daughter now more than I would see her because I can
job.
Work from home. Like if I need to, or I can go, she's a blood drive. I can go, like, at her school, I can go. And I could not, there's no way I could do that in my previous job, but it means I work till 3 a.m. that night. Like, I have to, the work doesn't go away and I care more about the work now than ever. So
whoa,
you have to balance. And I work 7 days a week.
Oh God. Oh God, you guys are very impressive.
It's okay. So funny. Someone, I posted on my Instagram that, like, I was having a bad day or that, like, I was working tons and someone gave me feedback. They're like, we don't actually want to see that because we believe your life is so glamorous that, like, we don't want to know. Like, they didn't want to know. And I thought to myself, this is so funny because people, they think that the life we're living is so fantastic, but, like, we are working all of the time.
Well, I will say that, like, like, Olive and June was, like, the beginning of, like, Instagram destination place. You know, like, she really was at the forefront of, like, making...
Well, I'm here getting my nails done and I'm going to take a post-it picture.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, he's like, I'm here getting my nails done and it's, like, an experience. So, like, she, like, sort of manifested her dream of, like, I want this to be a place that you go and relax and, like, it's, like, what she feels. And so I think that's why, like, she is so influential and people go to her and, like, she really is. Like, people were, like, saying, oh, my goodness, like, please don't post that. I think that you have a great life because I think, like, it's part of this, like, you know, swoop away, like, to bring me to this other place. And that honestly, like, even, like, sort of spells out what we do in this company and, like, what people look for. It's, like, you have to realize, like, what she was like at the forefront of sort of deciding like what people wanted out of this experience. And I think like that's why I think like people look to her for an experience. They're like, wait a minute, that's not the experience I wanted.
I don't want to see you at 10 p.m. with your Manny on your keyboard. Not interested.
Kat, tell us your origin story of your lovely company Ritual.
Yeah, for sure. So I started the company when I was 4 months pregnant. My background very similar to Angela's.
Math. I don't know why I have to sing that, but
and investment banking. I was at Lehman Brothers all the way through the collapse, and then got into the startup world. Became the chief of staff to the CEO of Universal Music. Head of innovation there, then met Troy Carter along the way, who was Lady Gaga's manager, became the head of innovation at his company, and then ran his investment fund of over 70 startups, everything from Uber to Dropbox, Warby Parker, Spotify, and then got pregnant, and life changed forever. And for me, my journey started when, you know, I've always been passionate about health and kind of what I was putting in and on my body, but when you get pregnant, it's like a whole other caliber. You really become
very aware of what's in lotions and what's in mm-hmm. deodorants and what's in all of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so I kind of went through a clearing phase, got rid of deodorants, toothpaste, sunscreens, cleaning supplies, all my husband's stuff. I remember telling him, do not spray your cologne within 10 miles
of this baby.
Go outside the house if you're going to do this.
I remember that on Scandal because I was pregnant and I didn't want to tell anyone, but like the amount of hairspray that is mm-hmm. in the makeup trailers. I mean, for all, you know, if you're doing 10 women at once in a tiny closed space, I was like, oh shit. Right. Like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like,
I'm just going to go.
This is, oh yeah, I would cover my face. It was so insane. I don't know if it actually did anything, but.
Exactly.
So that's where you got the idea.
That's where I got the idea. I started to kind of look at my prenatal vitamin. I turned it around. I was always trying to find the best version of everything. But when I actually dug deeper about on the ingredients that was in my prenatal, I was pretty horrified and confused and was in this search for something better. You know, I realized, you know, same with Angela, I did a deep dive in research, and ingredients were something that was, we didn't ever question before. We questioned what we were eating, like where was the kale in our salad coming from? We could find that out, or if you eat chicken, you know who the chicken's playing with,
right?
But why not question what we're ingesting every single day for our pregnancy or beyond that? And so one of the, you know, an interesting fact I found was over a third of women have a genetic variation where they can't even properly utilize synthetic folate, folic acid that's in
prenatal
90%+ of prenatals. And so one of the things we did as a company is we use methylated folate that bypasses genetic variations. We really go above and beyond searching for better ingredients. So we use D3 from wild harvested lichen. We use omega-3s from microalgae. And my background in technology kind of allowed me to really show where those things were coming from and why, and go really deep, which
so awesome.
Wasn't done before.
That's amazing. It's so cool. Do you think that, go back to, I feel like you guys were all very influenced by your pregnancies. I mean, Ritual for sure, and Yumi, and also, you, I mean, again, like, I just feel like women and pregnant women, like, I remember going to the manicurist and being like, am I allowed to have like regular nail polish on? You know what I mean? Because there's like non-toxic, like, are you allowed to have that stuff? You become much more aware than you ever did before. Did you guys find when you started looking for funding and things like that, did you encounter skepticism because you were a woman or because you were pregnant?
Yep.
Tell.
Like, wow.
To date, we've raised over $40 million, and
they just closed a big round.
Yeah, we just announced a big round.
Yay!
I mean, yes, it means a lot of work ahead, but yeah. So the first round of funding was me 4 months pregnant, going to Silicon Valley and investors, and I had a really well-known investor that I went to, and. You know, I was questioning, I'm like, do I tell them that I'm pregnant from the first meeting, or do I tell them I'm pregnant in the second meeting? Like, you know, transparency is obviously our brand ethos, so I want to be honest.
Right.
But I don't want to be dinged for that. So I decided to be just completely upfront, and I went into this really well-known investor's office and was like, all right, so I'm going to start a prenatal company or a vitamin company. I'm going to reinvent the vitamin, and I'm pregnant. And he's like, oof. Well, you have two choices. You can either start a family or you can have a company, but there's no way you can do both well. So
I am literally every hair on my body just stood up. Yeah. Not in a good way.
That's super cute.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Thanks super for the great. Motivation.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Love you. Love you great.
Did you feel held back or did you feel like that was fire?
Total fire.
Yeah. You just were like, watch me.
Yeah.
Do either of you, Sarah, Angela, did you have similar? Oh, yeah. Really? This sucks.
I know, it's terrible. It's terrible. So, like, it's also compounded, I think, with, like, some of the industries that we chose. Like, I think partially, like, at least vitamins can be, like, for everybody. Like, but if you were, like, specifically prenatal, but, like, nails, you know, baby food, it is an industry. Those are industries that, like, are women dominated, only for women a lot of the times. And, like, I mean, even, like, your vitamins are also, like, women focused. So
right.
I think it's
not
like,
just prenatal.
Yeah, not just prenatal. So, like, but, like, so when you're doing that, there's also this, like, they don't understand the market problem. So they, like, think, how big is that market? You know, who's that really for? And so there's all these, like, questions just on that alone. So, like, compound that with you going in pregnant. Like, or, which I was, so it was like, I was like fundraising for a pregnant. And then it's like, then they like, they question everything. They're like, so do you want to do this because it's like a hobby for you? Like, do you think this is like,
is it a lifestyle?
Is it a lifestyle business?
What does that mean? What is that?
Like a business that you just want to pay for your lifestyle with. And I'm like, I'm coming from investment banking. I'm giving up a ton of money to do this. I'm clearly not an idiot about this. Like it's going to be huge. Trust me. Like, did you ask the person that started Gerber? Like, is this lifestyle for you? Do you know what I mean? Like, you didn't ask that. So, like,
do you think they asked men that question?
It's like Sally Hansen. Was that just like a lifestyle thing? Oh. It's like, these are huge things in the world. Do you know what I mean? So, like, why are you then asking me, like, how big is the market? Do you think this is a big thing? It's like, this is huge. But, like, that's immediately, like, the first thing that they think of because of, like, you're a woman, and it's, like, a very women-run type, or women-like business. You know, it's, like, for women.
Right.
You know, like, and then on top of that being pregnant, it's, like, the first thing is, like, oh, so how much time are you going to take off, do you think? Or, like...
Were you guys asked that?
Yeah, I mean, I was... So
are you planning on taking a maternity leave?
No, like, it was almost like this, like, a roundabout way, like, when is that launch... of this thing and trying to see if you will. But like, I was like, I had a baby when I did it. I took zero time off. I'm taking zero time off now. I'm literally like, I was like in labor, not kidding. I was like, it's my second. It's fine. Like, I'm sending Excel sheets like to like close up the due diligence. And like, I'm not taking time off. And if I were, do you think that I wasn't capable of like making sure that the team is there? Do you know what I mean? Like you can trust a guy to have done that, but I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
Like, it's like the questions become much more like, you know, pointed, like because you're a woman, because you're pregnant, that probably you weren't capable of this. And so it's not even just, like, the question of, like, are you going to take time off? Like, were you even capable of setting up a company that wouldn't, you know, like that couldn't sustain that? And I think that that's actually even more hurtful in some ways. So...
This is so fascinating to me and so upsetting. I mean, I know it's there, like, I know, but I just really like to live in my bubble.
I have a couple of thoughts. I had the similar experiences. I also had, when I wasn't pregnant, I sat in a room with someone. It was my second round of fundraising, and I had probably been talking for 45 minutes, and anyone that gets in a room with me for 5 minutes knows that I'm, like, kind of a killer and, like, we'll do anything and, like, we'll scale up any wall and break through anything to get it done. Yeah. And I'm a sole founder, so, like, I mean, it's just, like, I feel like you get my energy immediately.
Yes.
We've been talking for 45 minutes. And so he basically knew everything about me at that point. And then he was like, so he's like, so at the end, he's like, so let me just ask you a question. So, like, given where you're from, which I'm from Connecticut, given where you're from and your father has worked in finance and your husband works in entertainment, like, why do you want to do this business? And I literally was like, if I've spent 45, like, I looked at him, I said, if I haven't convinced you that I'm going to basically take over, I'm going to innovate on the nail world, we're going to change the industry forever, I don't know that I have anything else to answer that. Like, if you think I'm a kid from, like, my dad has funded zero part of this business, my husband has funded zero part of this business, like, I've done everything with my savings and raised money, like, this is my second round, I literally was like, I don't even have an answer for you. Yeah, like I was like, bye. The conversation's over. And I told my, actually told my first investor, my first big investor in the first round. And he was like, they would never have asked a man that. Like, and this is an investor who I think is a pretty traditional person. Like, I think probably I like, could have said some of the crazy things we just heard and was the person who was pushing me to take a maternity leave. Like, I think there are wonderful investors out there.
Of course.
But I just think there are some that just, like, can't see past their own experiences. And it's really pathetic.
Ugh. Do you guys, are there any lessons that you guys have learned starting businesses that you feel, like, apply to parenthood? Are they the same? Yeah. I love that this thing you made about patience. They're all your babies, right?
So much patience.
So one thing I will
I don't have a lot of that.
My takeaway is that, like, it's asking for help. So I had a very hard time. I mean, I'm very type A.
Welcome to the podcast of type A people.
So I like to make sure that everything's done right and, like, all the way to the end. And, you know, but the difference between, like, a mom and pop shop in a huge company is that you're actually able to find people to replace you. That's, like, you know, full stop. You can have a huge mom and pop company, like, very huge, like, but then it ceases to exist when that mom or dad leaves, right? That can't be in a company, and that can't be at home. Like, you got to figure out a way to support you and your vision in both places. And so you got to ask for help. Like, so if that's, like, family or, like, nannies or schools, try to figure it out. If it worked, that's, like, getting a number two, a number three, helping you out. You got to figure it out because, like, it can't just be you. And you have to learn that, like, again, in both places. And so maybe it's something I learned from home that I had to apply to work or work that I had to apply at home. But you soon realize if it is just you, it actually won't be as successful. And so, like,
yeah, you can't grow. Yeah. Kerry Washington always says this brilliant thing to me. She was always like, if you're spending all of your time maintaining, you're never going to grow. Like, if you spend all of your days just in reaction to emails and things that are coming forward and maintaining and just holding on and maintaining, it might be time to ask for help, get people around you to help, whether that's in your home life or your work life or whatever, because then you will finally have space to grow.
Right.
I think that's brilliant. You guys agree, Kat and Sarah?
Yeah. Our CFO, CEO constantly is like, your time efficiency is everything. So she pushed me to put a lot of my personal stuff on our assistant, and it's very hard for me to do. But then I focus either on my home life or my work life, and I'm so much more efficient. I read a book called Essentialism, and I'm obsessed with it.
I've heard about this. Obsessed. We should put a link on that to Kate into the crib notes.
And focus on the essential. Have, like, one to two missions, and that's all you care about. And I try to do that at home. Like, I'm like, all I care about is, like, spending time with Noah and my husband in, like, a very concentrated way, and then at work, like, our vision is to democratize the salon manicure. And so that's all we're focused on. And I think focusing has been very, very good. I also think patience, like, I worked on a trading desk very, very quick. A lot of emotion and not a lot of listening and just constantly go, go, go. And this business has taught me, my team has taught me to be patient and to allow people to, like, learn and develop. And to Angela's point, like, when you bring those people in that are supposed to be taking parts of your job from you, to actually, like, let them have it and let them have the moment to run with it.
A lot of trust.
Yeah.
That's huge. And for you, Kat, same?
Same.
I love it.
Exactly the same.
Now that you guys are in full swing of running successful businesses, brava, how have you integrated being a mom into your brand? Like, I feel like it's all majorly in your brands, but how does it affect you guys? Have you had other moms work in your business? Do you have number twos, number threes that are pregnant, that are women? Like, how do you sort of, I'm like, right the wrongs of your up and coming, you know what I mean? But, like, how do you, I know you guys don't take days off, but, like, do all of your staff not take days off? Are they moms? Like, tell me.
So I've had two kids since starting the company and raising money, and it's challenging. And the silver lining to the conversation for me is the investors that we did take on encouraged me to take time off, encouraged me to take as much time off as I could to connect with my kids. The challenge was the guilt and the
right letting go
all the stuff that I put on myself, rather. And, you know, I really didn't take time off, but I really do encourage that for women. I think it's really important, and I don't think as a society we encourage it enough.
I agree.
And I think it's a problem. So for the kind of company that we've built, we have a really generous maternity leave policy and paternity leave policy.
Love it. Bravo.
Yeah. And we were pretty small when we instituted it, you know, like less than 10 people. And so every person is so critical. And it's just a sacrifice that we made. And
yeah, you really feel it when they're gone.
Yeah.
Like it's a taking a hit for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But it was something that, you know, we're trying to build a long lasting brand, not just something that scales and flails out. So having that and setting it up with lawyers and experts and thinking through that was really important to us in the beginning. And then we've also set up a pumping room early on. You know, I'm still pumping and it sucks.
Do you have a brand new baby?
I have a 11 month old.
Yeah, so you're pumping away.
Yeah, I have my pump in my bag right now. Yeah. So I know how much that sucks. I was pumping out in the open when we started and it's so kind of embarrassing. I mean, now I'm owning it.
Yeah. No, but it is like it's touchy for people. And also, I mean, we've talked a lot about breastfeeding on this podcast, but some people are very affected by, like, they can't make milk if they're stressed out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, like, to have a place to go where you can actually just, like, you know, if you're, there are people that have to look at pictures of their babies or videos of their babies and their milk. That was me. Like, my milk would not come down unless I, like, would see my child because I was, like, so stressed. Yeah. That's beautiful. What about you guys, Angela, Sarah?
Yeah. So, as far as, like, iteration at work or, like, how we try to, like, approach it, I have a baby food company, so it's like a very part of my, like, our whole being, you know. So, like, it's funny because I, unlike Sarah, no one's really looking to me for, like,
that's true.
It is. I'm very private of a person. Like, I don't, like, share a lot of anything, and so I think that's, like, why. But what I want to make for the company, though, is stuff that makes people's lives better. And so we try to apply that to people that work for the company. So we, like, try to look for underemployed moms, like, giving them flexible jobs. So, like, whether it's, like, they want to help, like, with content or write or, like, you know, be an assistant to, like, either, like, customer service, like, anything that, like, they can do. Or it's like, field marketing. Like, underemployed moms are always looking for jobs, like, and they're very, very talented people. They just feel like they can't balance everything. And so we look a lot of underemployed moms, like, to do those roles. Because that's what you also are looking for. I mean, as a parent that's buying food, you want to actually probably hear from another mom. So it works both ways. So I think a lot of companies should actually look for people that could, you know, help them in that way. Like, and so, and for us, it's maternity leave. We're actually, I think I'm the only person that had a baby. I can't think of other people that had babies since mm-hmm. then. But that being said, like, we've talked a long time about what that's going to look like and when that happens. And, like, I think we want to make sure that it's as flexible as possible for them to come back and integrate back in and, like, you know, what can they do and how much time they can have. Like, we're obviously very small. But, you know, I truly believe in that for society. So I think you got to put out there what you want in society. And so I think that's, like, why we try to, like, balance and consider. But
same. I think we have basically our brand director and our CFO CEO are part-time. And they're both moms. And
it, like, works great for them.
It's great. I think there's something so true in what Angela's saying is that there's, like, a workforce of women who are moms who, like, can't figure out totally. And there's some companies that are coming out that are trying to, like, feed that talent to company to, you know, to be that B2B, which I think is super interesting.
That's amazing.
It works so well for us. I mean, we have basically a Stanford Business School grad who has been a CFO CEO at many companies, and she's our part-time CFO CEO, and she's couldn't be more impactful for the business, our brand director.
And it works perfectly for her because she's like, I get to be with my kid, and also I'm working.
Exactly. And what's great about it is, I mean, it's a little bit of a specific special situation because I've known her since I was 22. So the trust is insane. Like, I mean, she makes her own hours, she makes her own schedule, and, like, I know everything will get done. And our brand director is similar, where I've known her since before we were open, and she's fantastic, and she probably works another 10 to 20 hours a week. And they're both, our CFO CEO works more, 20 hours a week. But, like, it's just for us at this stage, like, we don't have the ability to either afford either of these people full time, but also,
yeah, it's also great for them.
Yeah, it's great for them.
It's great for them too, because we have this too. I mean, I don't run a successful business, but I do run a successful not-for-profit. I have a theater company that I started 10 years ago.
Which is a successful business.
Yeah, thank you. And it's called I Am a Theater Company, but we have, like, our managing director who does all of our funds and our money and all of that, like, we couldn't afford a full-time person, but she also can't afford a full-time nanny. Mm-hmm. So it's this great idea of these, like, part-time moms.
It's huge.
Who are totally so amazing, talented. And I'm so lucky to have her. It's, like, insane. I mean, the business would fall apart without her. She's the only person that knows, like, the actual logistical shit. Like, I don't even know. But she – it's incredible because she only – she can work, like, 3 days a week, full days, and that's what she can afford a nanny, and that's what makes sense financially for her family, which is a blessing. Like,
and probably what she wants to do. I mean, I think for our – especially for Claire, who runs – who's our CFO, CEO, like, she wants to spend a lot of time with her family. Like, that's hugely important to her. So for her to have this, like, flexible job, but she gets still like, she's like brilliant. It's just a wonderful arrangement. I think we recently moved from contractors to employees. Our team really liked being freelancers, and I understand why, but we at some point were like, we want a team of employees. And so I think some people resisted it. Some of our manicures didn't want that. But those who did really leaned into the fact that there's actual benefits and there's actually like a company that you are protected by both us and the state. And so really excited, like as we get bigger, really excited to be like more like Ritual.
Aww. Do you guys have advice for women in similar situations who are contemplating starting or running their own businesses? I have to tell you guys, I have a bunch of friends who either got pregnant or have small babies and are having massive, like huge questioning about what they've been spending their time doing. Like very successful, like high up executives, entertainment industry, and just, you know, having a baby has completely, in a beautiful way, changed their thoughts and their priorities and what they want to do. That doesn't mean they want to work less and be home more. It means if they're going to be away from their kid, they have to be doing something they're super fucking passionate
about.
That's
what I think is like the most, I think that's probably why, like, it's like, it's the most clarifying moment for a lot of people. At least, like, for me, it was like, why am I doing this other thing? Like, if I could do all my energy, put all of it in. So it wasn't for the less hours, right? So it wasn't like I get to, like, have more flexible hours. It was for, like, if I'm going to do all of this, let's make something huge. Let's change the world. Let's make something, like, big and exciting. And, like, it can be what I want it to be because I just saw it happen. Like, I just had a child, and that's, like, I made this little miracle happen. Like, I can do this. Like, I could do whatever I want. Like, look at this. Yeah. Like, I kept this thing alive.
Yeah,
like,
it's like
that's huge.
And they're still alive today.
It's huge. It's huge.
I breastfed that thing. Yeah. Like, it's like, and so I'm just saying that it really is empowering. So as much as, like, it's so hard, if women just, like, step back and be like, wow, you did that. Like, nobody else did that. You did that. Like, you can really do anything. Like, then it is that moment you get to, like, step back and say, is this what I want out of my life? Like, I could do anything. And so, like, I encourage anybody that has those thoughts, that doubts, like, to, like, really look through their life and think, like, do I want to start a podcast? Do you know what I mean? Do I want to do this? Do I want to get my voice out there? Do I want to, like, you know, do the things I've always wanted to do? Because you can. You just proved that you could. And so, like, or, like, join something. Join us. Call me. Hey.
We're always hiring.
Like, so it's like, call me. If you got those thoughts. Like, we want people that, like, want to do a lot. Like, change the world. Like, and I think there's, like, almost, like, this, like, no better time. But I think there's only, like, inflection points in your life, you know, where you're, like, what do I do? Like, is life going to be the same? And one of this is graduating college. You're, like, ooh, that's weird. Like, and then, like,
My whole life has been divided into, like, semesters. And just, like, a human. There's, like, no spring. Like, what do we do?
This is real life.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's also marriage, like, weirdly. Like, even if you're not married, or that big moment where you, like, find someone, because it's, like, oh, now I am tied to you as a human. And then babies. Like, and babies is like, wow, is this what the rest of my life's going to look like? And it doesn't have to, but it does make you think that way. Because, like, where am I going to be that raises this kid? What philosophies are I going to choose? And I say, like, grab on to those inflection points. Like, because it's your time to, like, ride it into something new, or, like, change your life, or, like, get into more, or, like, dive deeper in. And whether that means, like, stay home with your kid and, like, cherish that, or, like, you know, lean into another thing. Like, but it really does allow for that to happen. Like, it's like, and treat it like that. Like, it's an inflection point. Like, make a decision now. Like, And so,
I think that's amazing.
I would say that I would agree with everything that Angela's saying. I would also say that try to honestly, critically analyze yourself and like what type of personality you are, because like I'm like an irrationally exuberant person that has tons of ideas, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna bring Olive and June to everyone. We're gonna teach everyone to paint their own nails, and like that's my personality, and we're going to do it, and we're gonna overtake. We're gonna change the industry forever. There are other people on my team who want to be part of that vision, but want to be more structure or want to be, or like they're kind of like nervous to be the person to say like, we're going to teach everyone to paint their own nails, but they're my CFO, CEO, and she wants to be part of that vision, but she wants to structure it out. She wants to build the team. Like, know what kind of personality you are, because I do not think that everyone should be an entrepreneur. But I think everyone, if they feel the way that you just described, they should join an entrepreneurial journey. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's like, I think knowing what type of personality you are, like Claire will say all the time, she's like, I am a number two. And it's not that she's saying like, I'm not Sarah. It's not about that. It's about what her personality and what she wants to do with her life.
Yeah.
And like, she's building it more than I am. Like, I mean, some ways I think I report to her. Like she's more instrumental in some ways to the business than I am, but it's just different parts of the business. And so I think knowing your personality and where you can like thrive, whether it be joining a company or starting a company, like, I think that that's so important, because if you start a company and you don't have that like irrational exuberance, the lows will
kill
crush you.
You'll be out.
They'll crush you. They're just too low, and you have to be the person that can get so high.
Yeah, you have to like wake up every day. It's like being an actor. It's like this
100%.
It is, but like waking up every day being like, today is going to be the different day where said no to me for the past 3 years. Yeah. I haven't made a dollar.
Yeah.
And yet today
I'm going to get scandal.
I'm so fucking passionate about this. Yeah. I have to be a storyteller. There's, you know, I learned this weekend. Yeah. It was so eye-opening. I learned this weekend, then I want to hear, Kat, to your advice. I learned this weekend that someday, who knows what will happen. I'm an actor. My husband's an actor. Who knows what will happen? I might have to be a stay-at-home mom. But I learned this weekend that I actually don't like it, and I'm really bad at it. Like, my nanny has been sick, and I was home, and so I had the baby, and my husband has a job, so he was gone, and I was just by myself with the baby for like a week. And I was terrible at it. Like, I'm a much better mom when I get, okay, you have him from 3 to 7 today. Mm-hmm. And like, I go so hard those 4 hours with him, and I read books and I pay attention and I'm focused and I'm patient and my phone is off and I know it's the time I get with him. And I'm very fortunate and privileged to be able to make this choice. But I felt like, holy shit, like I have to work. And I want to work in my life to be able to afford another person to help me raise my son, because work brings me such joy and actually makes me a better mother. Yeah. But like, I feel fucking bad about that even still. Yeah. Is that crazy?
No, you have to know yourself.
Like, I still was like, I'm terrible. This is where I'm supposed to want to be. But it's not.
Yeah. Like, 100%. Same.
I talk about this a lot, about like where you find your sense of self, and it doesn't have to always align like with what people think you should find your sense of self, right? So like, I find my sense of self at work or productivity, but like, that doesn't mean that I'm not great at the home, or like I'm not like there or can take care of it. It's just, you also are a person, right? So you should take care of that, who you are, and that's going to make you better in every other part of your life. And so like, some people do find their sense of self at the home, and then that's
great. 100%, it's great,
and that helps, and that works, and then that's where they find their sense of self. So like, if they can, and that makes them a better person in the other parts of their life when they're at work and stuff, when they get re-energized at home. Like, you have to find where you find like you're re-energized, right? So I think, but in all those situations, you should find out how to find help. So even if you're someone that has help at home, maybe all the other parts of your life you need help in too, right? So we're all not better or worse for it, actually. I think that at the end of the day, like, it's actually a good thing to find out who you are and how you fit in, because then you know where to ask for help and you don't feel bad about it. Because, like, it does feel like sometimes, like, shouldn't I be, like the person crawling on the floor chasing my child.
Yes.
Like, and it's like, and then I one day realize, no, it shouldn't be.
No, and it was so, it was so eye-opening for me.
It doesn't have to be me.
Like, it was so eye-opening. I worked so many hours. I went back to work when he was really little, and I would always say, I just want to be at home with my kid. I just want to be at home with my kid. Like, why the fuck was I even saying that? Well, I've had some time with that now, and that is actually not true. Mm-hmm. I would like to be home with my kid for some of the time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and like really quality time. But I don't want to be home with my kid all day. I don't. I was like, I hated it. I've never been so tired in my life. Kat, tell us advice and what you would say to any woman, you know, who's thinking about starting a business or maybe really had a baby or is pregnant and is having like these thoughts of like whatever her job is at the moment is not for her.
For sure. So I think you touched on it, but being a mom is the hardest job there is. There is no harder job in the world.
Agreed.
I think we're all in agreement with that.
Yes, for sure. Because it's the you can't quit. It's the one that means the most. It's nonstop. It's the one you'll think about for the rest of your life. Like, no matter where your kid is, you're tethered and thinking about him or her.
I'm in this WhatsApp group with a bunch of female entrepreneurs, and they're all about to have babies, or they all have had babies, and you see the shock and horror after they've given birth, and they're all like, what do I do? My baby's not sleeping, and they're not eating, and... It's so shocking, I think, when you have a child. There's so nothing else like it. And you see, like, in this WhatsApp group, I won't name the entrepreneurs, but they're, like, really successful women that have built really big companies or are really far in their careers and acting and whatnot. And they're just horrified. And
it was a shock to me, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, and I think that's important to realize. And then you kind of get over that hump and you – realize, wow, women are capable of so much.
Yeah.
And that's pretty incredible. And so, I don't know, my advice would be not to be so hard on yourself. That's something I've personally struggled with a lot. And you really can only balance a couple things at a time. And, you know, all of us are type A. So we're like, my relationship's going to be awesome. And my career is going to be
awesome.
My
marriage is going to be perfect. And my baby's going to be perfect. And my job is going to be bajillionaires. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no.
And I think... At any given point, there's only three things you can do semi-well or semi-okay, and not being so hard on yourself if something's just, like, failing miserably and just acknowledging that it is. So that's been, I think, my biggest struggle and advice that I wish I had years ago, being like, cool, I fucked up. Awesome. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Of course you can. Cool. Fuck yeah. Right. It sounds to me like you guys all had really strong passions, and it sounds like... you're equally as passionate about being moms. And this has been, like, so eye-opening and inspiring, and I cannot thank you enough, Sarah and Kat and Angela, for coming on Katie's Crib and for sharing your very impressive, inspiring, hard stories. I wish you guys the best of luck. In my business, we say break legs, but, like, I don't know what you say to female entrepreneurs who are kicking ass in business. Thank you guys so much for being on Katie's Crib. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Katie's Crib. And be sure to check out shondaland.com, where you can find every episode of Katie's Crib. And we've got crib notes for each episode where you can find out more about our guests and links to some of the resources we talk about on the podcast. And last but not least, subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically like wherever you get your podcasts.